You are listening to weekly messages from Austin Christian Fellowship. For more information about ACF, visit acfellowship.org.
Good morning. If I don't have the chance to know you, my name is Will Davis Jr. Welcome to ACF. I missed you guys last weekend. We had the CPs all teaching at their communities last weekend, and I was up at Very High Country praying over you, I promise. It's really good to see you. If you need a Bible, will you raise your hand? We give away Bibles every single week, and we're not shy about it. So if you want one, don't have one, raise your hands. We'll bring you one. You can keep it if you want to. Some of you are starting a collection, I think. That's fine. You can't have Bibles are like tents. In a tent, you can only sleep in one at a time, but you can't have too many of them, in my humble opinion. You can't have too many Bibles, so you can always give one away. Take one if you want it, and find first the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and then later on we're going to jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm really glad to see you this morning. I want to pray here in just a moment. By way of introduction, this is a weekend series that I'm doing all weekend. I'm doing three different messages this weekend. I'll tell you more about that in a minute, and it's on marriage, so I can't wait to jump into it. A couple of housekeeping items. Most of you know this. We're recruiting for our community in Hutto. I'm going to put an email on the screen, russell@acfellowship.org. We launch Hutto, ACF Hutto, April 1st, which is Easter. Really excited about it. And some of you and folks from other communities have already agreed to go out there once a month, twice a month, whatever, and serve. If you've never done a startup, it's crazy. It's all hands on deck. And we need people to make coffee, to greet, to serve in Camp Fun, to play in the band, to do lights and sound. And all the lights in a gym, though, are pretty much just on and off, but it still takes somebody to do that. And to do load in and load out, and to pray. And if you're willing to give, you know, that little startup community some of your time, they would be grateful for it. It's going to be a blast. If you've never done it, you need to do it. So contact Russell. If you're pretty connected here, you might tell Daryl what you're doing. But give Russell an email to say, hey, how can I help you as you get launched? And I think you'll find it well worth your time. It's a beautiful community. It's going to be fun to see what happens. The second thing is, most of you know, but if you're new, I want you to know this. I do pretty much a different message in every weekend service. I don't do the same message throughout weekends. I did a different one last night for what I'm doing now. 11 o'clock will be a different one. And if you want to get all of those, and on this weekend, I think you're going to want to because of the topic, you can ping, go to this link right here and sign up. I think 300 and something already have this month. It's very exciting. Sign up, and we'll push whatever messages I do on a weekend to you first thing Monday morning. You can have them throughout the week to listen to or watch. There'll be videos, but you can also listen to them. You can download them from podcasts if you want to. And it's just enabling us as a church to cover a lot more ground and to do a lot more work in a weekend on a certain topic. And I hope you'll sign up and get those sent to your inbox. So, in Hebrews 13, I started last night with this verse, did the first half of it, and there's some foundational stuff in that that I want you to go back and listen to. Defining the word marriage from a biblical standpoint and what it means to honor marriage. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me pray just a bit. Father, it's so good to be here. Thank you for this really anointed worship time. These guys did a great job leading us, and I thank you. It was so sweet to hear our congregation just declare how good you are and how you fight for us, Lord. You are that God. You are a good God, and you fight for us, Lord. So thank you. Lord, I pray for captives to be set free in this room right now. I pray you'd humble me and activate my skills and gifts. I pray you'd anoint your word. I pray for boldness and courage. I pray for demonstrations of your power in this room. Lord, I pray you'd help us to think differently about marriage and what it is and our commitment to it, whether we're married or single. I pray we'd honor marriage. We love you. Thanks for this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel better. This is Marriage 401. I started this a year ago this month. Did Marriage 101, did 201 in May, 301 I think in October. And here we are at 401. And the reason this is a PG-rated weekend is simply, it's pretty much how to affair-proof your marriage. I can't read this verse I'm about to read without going PG. This is a verse that the writer of Hebrews just kind of gets out there. And it's one of those verses you read and go, wow, this guy means business. So I'm going to read it to you, And we'll walk through it together. And I really appreciate not just you being here today, but you listening as well. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all." That's all I taught on last night, was that phrase. Let marriage be held in honor among all. That was where I went last night. You guys get the fun second half of the verse. "And let the marriage bed be undefiled." This message is called undefiled. "For God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous." That's thus the PG rating. Now, it probably shouldn't be a PG rating because the stuff we have in our living rooms from TV, on the internet, the movies we see, the commercials that run before movies, the previews, this stuff is, the language here is mild, but we're still a church, and I want to honor your desire to filter what you give to your kids at the right time, so that's the PG rating. The writer of Hebrews is summing up his message. It's the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. And the first 12 chapters, we don't know who wrote Hebrews, by the way. First 12 chapters, it's a lot of theology. He's writing to Jewish Christians who are being persecuted, and they're struggling with, should I stay in my Christian faith or go back to Judaism, which is legal? Christianity is illegal, and they're suffering for it. And his point is, if you go back to Judaism from being a Christian, you got nothing. You've got no way to return back to God. And in chapter 13, he begins this list of commands. Be this, do this, pray this, act this way. It's all in chapter 13. And in one of those commands is honor marriage. Hold marriage highly. And again, that's the part I want you to go back and listen to last night. Let me walk through these words with you, and you'll begin to see in this service, and I hope if some of you can, you'll stay for next service. Because I'm going to talk out of 1 Samuel 11 about David and Bathsheba and kind of tell you the rest of the story and what happens when you have an affair. It's not the stuff you're going to hear anywhere else, trust me. Hollywood is not going to tell you this side of the story. So I'll tell you that in the next service. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulteress. He comes out of this phrase, let marriage be held in high honor. Marriage, he's referencing what God created in Genesis chapter 2 between a man and a woman, intended to be a covenant, lasting relationship, a monogamous relationship. You and I know that culture has done a lot with that definition. And I'm not really here to discuss that. I'm here to discuss the biblical presentation of the purity of marriage and what it's supposed to be. When he says marriage bed, he means the act of sex. That is to be pure. That is to be reverent. It is to be approached with reverence. This casual, laissez-faire, hookup mindset that's in our culture is not just devastatingly off-base scripturally, it's just devastating. It is not anything that we can wink at and say, well, it's just not that big a deal, even though CNN ran an article recently that said having an affair where you actually participate while your wife is having an affair with someone else may actually be good for your marriage. Now, don't get mad at CNN. That's pretty common knowledge. That's pretty common thinking. It's just anything goes these days. There's actually a term for that, by the way. There's actually a label for that act now. And we as Christians can really sound backward and archaic and squeak when we walk conservative when we say that I really do believe you should stay pure until you're married because the Bible teaches it and that you should sleep with one person in all of your life, not multiple partners. I know that as I'm even saying this, I'm stepping on some toes. It's not my intention, but the scripture does what it does. Doesn't really apologize for it. Church, Christians, we have to think differently. We have to think better and higher than what culture does. By way of advertisement, next weekend I begin a series that will take us through the end of February. I'm calling The Gap. And this thesis is very simple, that as there is to be a gap between how Christians in the church live and how everybody else in the world lives. That we are not to look and act like the rules of culture don't apply in church. We have a different level. And as culture perhaps moves away and pushes back on the belief in God and the morality that goes with God, that gap is to get larger. Not, in other words, the church does not follow culture. We are what we are, and the scriptures teach that as culture declines, the light shining opportunity for Christians gets brighter, not dimmer. And as that gap increases, curiously, respect for the church as they stand their ground will increase, but so also will hostility toward the church. So that's the happy topic I'm going to jump into next weekend with you guys. It should be interesting. The marriage bed is the act of cohabiting, the act of conceiving. That moment of intimacy between a man and woman that God says makes you one flesh. It is designed and given to us as a gift in marriage, not outside of marriage, not before marriage, not in addition to marriage. It is a wonderful, holy gift given to the institution and the privilege that is called marriage. I love sitting with couples. Back when I used to do a lot of weddings, I would sit with couples that were living together or sleeping together or had children out of wedlock or whatever, and they want me to do their wedding. That's a fun meeting. And I would always say, so what does getting married give you don't already have? Why do you need me? Because you're living together, you're sleeping together, you're sharing a bank account, you've got the same address. What is it that marriage will give you? And they would basically say, it'd make our parents happy. That's just really not a good reason to get married. I mean, if you don't understand how out of line that behavior is from God's standpoint and how much hole you're digging for yourself to be acting that way if you're a Christ follower, then don't even bother. Marriage is to be honored. And the marriage bed is to be kept pure. The word pure or undefiled means unsoiled. Sometimes, if anybody thinks the Bible isn't relevant, they haven't read it, you know? Really? People say the Bible's outdated. Really? Have you read Song of Solomon lately? It's X-rated. This is not PG. I don't know how I got in the Bible, actually. It's so out there. This is unsoiled, pure. Don't bring the shadow of other partners into your marriage bed. Don't bring the fantasies of pornography into your marriage bed. Don't be faithful to your wife or intimate with your wife or husband on one day and intimate with someone else on the next. It's devastatingly, devastatingly wrong. So the writer gives an imperative here that we in the church need to teach and model for our children in our lives, that the marriage bed is to be kept absolutely pure. Now that's enough already, but then he shifts gears and says something that none of us want to hear. I don't like this verse, but it's in the scriptures. We have to deal with it because God will judge. God will hold accountable the sexually immoral, by God's definition, and the adulteress, by God's definition. You do not get a pass just because you're a young guy with lots of testosterone or because you think your wife is no longer worthy of your time. You don't get a pass if you commit adultery or if you're involved in sex in some way outside of marriage. And the language here of a judgment is of a setting, a pulling aside. It's really graphic. It's a setting aside for something reserved for people engaged in this. The scripture does not take lightly, church, the redefining of God's sexual standards. The scriptures do not wink at that at all. It's not, oh, it's okay, you're just being a guy. Or no. We understand, you know, you're young and got that zeal, go get, no, there's none of that in the Bible. This is a really, really big deal to God. There's a chapter in Revelation, chapter 18, where God judges a nation called Babylon. We don't know what that nation is. It sounds at times an awful lot like America. And he says Babylon is guilty of two sins and is therefore going to be judged because of two sins. Having amazing wealth and squandering it, not caring for the poor, and having an anything-goes sexual mindset. That's what's going to bring the downfall of Babylon. So I just need to, if you've not read scripture lately, I need to reacquaint you with the juxtaposition and a little bit of the shock factor between what culture says is okay and normal and what scripture says is okay and normal. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, I don't expect you to buy into our biblical morality yet. There's reasons I can give you for the biblical morality that might make sense to you, but I don't expect you to feel any need to honor God yet in your life. It will come as you pursue more of God. But for the Christians in the room, we don't have any wiggle room here, and candidly, we don't want it. Because I've walked on a lot of narrow mountain ledges, including in snow, and you know, the slippery, I understand slippery slopes. You can be on a mountain ledge and go 6 inches either direction, you're going to fall for a long time. Welcome to this slippery slope. There is no wiggle room here, church, from God's standpoint. And the scriptures simply teach that those who are engaged in sexual activity before marriage or outside of marriage create a whirlwind of trouble for themselves and for people around them. We've heard enough stories and seen enough damage in ACF to know how true that is. You know it in your community, I know it in mine. It's devastating. I'm getting moved because I could tell you some stories that you wouldn't believe. Of lives ruined and families ruined, and in some cases, funerals resulting from someone's desire to sleep with someone other than their spouse. They don't tell you that on the Ashley Madison website. That CNN article didn't mention that. Does anything goes culture? It doesn't talk about the devastation of this. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Isn't this happy? I'll get mail for this. I will. Daryl@acfellowship.org. No. No, but seriously, if we don't do this, who's going to do it? Church. I had a gay friend here last night, and I'm talking about marriage. And I'm like, I walked up to her beforehand and said, okay, just helmet of grace in advance. This is going to be a long message for you. And she sat through the whole thing. We have come so far in culture from where the Lord says we are to be. Messages like this can be labeled hate speech now. If we don't say it, who's going to? Truth still sets free. It does. You're in a burning house. You need to get out of the burning house. You're driving down a road, the bridge is out. I'm going to yell and scream and holler to get your attention. Friends, this culture, this sexual anything goes mindset is a burning house and an out bridge. And the church, we hold the truth that sexuality is a wonderful gift given by God. It's a wonderful thing. But if I give you a firearm, there's places and you need to know how to use a firearm. This is much bigger deal than a firearm. This is a much bigger deal. Why? Why does God judge? Why does God judge this? Why does God care? Why is God so anti-fun? Why is God so backward and so archaic? Why does God not want you to be able to do what you want to do with yourself? I mean, it's your right. Right? You're an independent person. We're in America. We get to do what we want to do. Don't tell me who I can sleep with, who I can't sleep with. It's my sexuality. It's my drive. I'll do what I want to with it. What do you care, God? Stay out of my business. Well, little detail, he created it.
He created it. He has an infinite wisdom. You, me, not so much. He knows what's best. And he knows what's highest. He knows the implications of not keeping his word. He's not trying to be mean and vindictive and keep you from having fun. He's trying to keep you from harming yourself and everybody else around you. That's why the Bible's so full of teachings on this passage, this kind of thing. So why? Let me give you some reasons. Why does God care who you sleep with and when you do it? Well, one, it's the relationship between a man and a woman, think now, is part of what I call the fabric of creation. The beauty of a sexual union, and that Adam and Eve were both naked and not ashamed, does not just refer to physical nakedness. It refers to an emotional rawness and vulnerability. They were completely safe with each other, including physically, but also spiritually and emotionally. There was no shame there. In that pre-sin, in that pre-Genesis 3 scene of Genesis 2, when Adam is looking over all of creation and the scriptures say he doesn't find an appropriate counterpart to him. In that pre-sin, while God is still creating the order of how things are going to function, he creates the opposite of Adam, Eve, the mother of all evening. The evening is about to give birth today. Eve is named as the mother of all creation, mother of all life. Adam and Eve are the appropriate completion of one another, and they also have the God-given ability to procreate, to go populate the earth. That wasn't a random thing by God. God doesn't do random. His answer to Adam's incompleteness was a woman, not a man, not a kangaroo, which was an option. It was there. Not anything else. Seriously, I mean, Adam could have said, ooh, I like that. Porcupine. Let's go. So glad he didn't choose a porcupine. No, he didn't find anything. God said, I got it. I got it. Watch me work. And his answer to Adam's need was a woman. Friends, that's foundational. That's a part of the foundation of creation. And anytime we begin to redefine what God calls foundational, we're on the slippery slope to death and destruction culturally, as a world, as a society. So one of the reasons God says, I'm going to hold accountable those who redefine sexuality and the act of sex and move outside my boundaries, it's the reason one of the top 10 commandments is don't be adulterous, that covers all sexual sin, is because sex is part of the foundation of what God created when he made male and female. It's a good thing, but it's not an anything goes thing. The second reason God cares is because when you are sexual with somebody who's not your spouse, you're stealing from them, and you're really stealing from God. It makes you a thief. What gives you the right to take a piece of someone's soul through sex when that person has not been given to you by God? I don't care whether they are compliant with you or not and want to be sexual with you or not. You're both stealing. The reason sex in the Old Testament, Ten Commandments, outside of marriage is called adultery, thou shalt not commit adultery, is because you belong to God until you're married. You're his property. You're his to do with as he pleases. You are to be faithful and have fidelity to him, including in your sexuality, in your sexual behaviors. And it is the ultimate in irresponsibility, it's stealing, to take from some young girl or some young man something that has not been given to you, whether they comply or not. God hasn't given it to you, and he's the vote that matters. God has not opened the door and said, here she is, have at her. Here he is, have at him. Y'all enjoy yourselves. If God has not opened that door through the covenant of marriage, you are stealing and taking something that you don't have the right to take. And dads and moms, you need to teach that to your children. You, ma'am, you 16-year-old, you 15-year-old, you 9-year-old are holy ground. And no guy gets to be anywhere close to you until you're married. Because otherwise, you're giving something that is not yours to give, and he's taking something that's not his to take. And that's the biblical standard. So it's thievery. It's stealing. The third reason is it's absolutely devastating. The person who has been sexual with multiple partners faces a damaging of their soul that is not irreparable, but it is something only the blood of Jesus can heal. This week in Estes, I was up there. One of my hobbies in the mountains is to split firewood. Sometimes I name the logs before I split them, just so you'll know that. You know, this is the devil. This is Texas football. You know, whatever. This is one of you. You know. I love splitting wood. And I'll do it for hours in the wind, and it's just beautiful. And I'm in the snow. And the first day I got there, I'm in the snow. And it's pristine. It's untouched snow. And so I track up into it. And I noticed it after 4 or 5 days of that. It was like, there was you know, lots of tree bark and splinters of wood and lots of tracks. And now the dirt's starting to show up because I've tracked on it so much. And that is a picture of someone's soul who has multiple sexual partners. It is not a physical act at all. It is a spiritual act. It's an emotional act. And you give away a piece of your soul when you're sexual with somebody. That's why you're supposed to have one partner only. Nobody teaches this. It really is, you give away a piece of your soul. If they bail on you, they walk away with that piece of your soul. And what you look like when you're left over, that only the blood of Jesus can cure and restore, is that trampled field I was on. Trampled on. That's what multiple sexual partners does. It's not cool, it's not sexy, it's not romantic, it's not fun, it's devastating. It's devastating. It's a level of intimacy that is to be reserved for marriage. And the one-and-done nightclub hookup mindset these days of sex, where we sleep together first and ask questions later, is absolutely killing our culture. It's killing it. And a lot of good lives in the process. But beyond that, it's the 16 and 17-year-olds who have to watch mom and dad self-destruct because of an affair. Because one of them couldn't hold true to their marriage vows. Thought the word of God didn't apply to them. Thought they were the exception. This won't hurt anybody. And the devastation of a 13-year-old girl finding out her daddy's chosen another family over hers isn't irreparable, but it's major. No one tells you this out there, guys. It is devastating. I've never seen an affair work out well. I've been in ministry since I was 18. I've never seen an affair end well. Not once. God can heal. God can forgive. God can restore. You will walk with a limp the rest of your life. And unfortunately, it's not done in a vacuum. It'll affect the people around you even more than it affects you. Sin does that. Sin always costs more than advertises, never delivers what it promises, and hurts those that are not involved. Do I need to say that again? Let me say it again. Sin costs more than advertised, never delivers on what it promises, and always devastates more than those involved. It's never just you. My way of summarizing it is sin makes you stupid. S-T-O-O-P-I-D. So I'm asking you today to honor marriage. Honor it. Fight for it. Make wise decisions about marriage. I listed a lot of things last night you can do to help build. Susie and I have a lot of safety fences, so to speak, and built into our marriage. That there's just, I won't do lunch with you if you're a female, or coffee or anything else. I won't meet you alone. I'll meet you in the office up here sometime with people around us. I will not meet you alone anywhere. If you're a female, I can't. for a lot of reasons, but I just won't. And that's just a kind of rule we've learned to navigate now for how many years here at ACF, and it's served me really, really well. And she won't either. Susie won't either. There's a lot of things you can do to honor marriage, but I want to stay to my point here. So let's just suppose you're sitting there going, well, I'm done. I'm so disqualified on this because the night of the senior prom alone did me in, okay? So not to mention whatever. I want to show you a piece of scripture that is one of my favorites in the Bible because it's got my name written all over it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. How you guys doing? You okay? Happy and peppy and bursting with love. Isn't this fun? I hate messages like this, but truth really does set free, and I hope you will hear this in the spirit I'm trying to deliver it. We have to talk about this stuff. First Corinthians 6, verse 9. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, which was an anything goes church. And they were anything goes in spiritual gifts, they were anything goes in sexuality. And they had all come to Christ from a pagan background. Corinth had a temple in it that the way you got access to the gods was through sex with a temple prostitute. Ephesus had one too. So sex had become access, it had become a religious thing. And so it was just rampant, anything goes sexuality. Not unlike what you see in places today. I mean, rampant, anything goes, sexuality. And Paul's now trying to call these Christians out of that lifestyle to purity. To purity. Jesus can make you pure. I need to say that again. Jesus will make you pure. The blood of Jesus will wash over that trampled snowfield and make it pure snow again, white as snow. That's what the blood of Jesus does. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1, 9 says, God is faithful and righteous. He's got two qualifications. He's faithful and he's just. Not just to forgive our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He can make you whole. He can make you pure. He can redeem what appears unredeemable. But only he can. Only Jesus can. Religion cannot do it. Trying hard, saying you can behave in this one, cannot do it. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. That's a tough list. I find my name there like 7 times. Oops, 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 I'm in trouble. 11 is the home run. And such were some of you. You used to be that. But you've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Isn't that a great verse? Yeah, can y'all say amen to that? I mean, thank God for that one. Because if he just says, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? I'm out. Because I am unrighteous, top to bottom. And so he says to the church, that's what some of you were. But you're not that way anymore. This activity of sexual misconduct is against your nature. You're not a sinner trying to be holy. You're a saint who's been called not to sin. Sin is against your nature now. It's not normal for you. You were not created as a sinner. That's an act of Genesis 3. You have a disease, and Jesus just cured the disease in you. Quit acting symptomatic of your disease that you no longer have. You're free from that. Aim higher. Do better. Because in the name of the Lord Jesus and by his Spirit, you have been washed. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by his Spirit, you have been cleansed. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by his Spirit, you have been made holy. Isn't that good? You know how labs will get, see something, kind of roll around in it? I want to roll around in that. Let me do that again. Was that terrifying to see that? Okay, I'll do it again next service. You know, Labrador, put the feet up in the air and just roll. I want to roll around in that one and get that all over me. Now, with that wonderful promise, church, there is a call to, I'm going to use a word that most of us don't like these days. It's a good word. We are called to repent. The word means to think differently about things. And the change of thought changes the behavior. It's not a freebie. We have to repent in the name of Jesus and invite him to rule and reign. And Lord, I've got all kinds of desires and addictions and bad behaviors. I need you to rein them in. Because I want to be one of those used to be's. Everybody in Austin Christian Fellowship is recovering something. Any Christian walking with God has a story to tell of how God has set you free, not just from the overall nature of sin, but the behavior of sin. I still sin, but my trajectory, hopefully, God willing, is upward and not downward. I'm trying to not sin the way I used to sin. I'm trying to live free of those things that are carnal and fleshly in nature. Don't always get it right, but I'm pulled that way, and so are you. Honoring marriage means inviting the Lord Jesus to build his kingdom into your life and to submit to his principles, to submit to his will, to not decide you're the exception, the rules don't apply to you, or yeah, but we've already been doing this for so long now. Please understand, if you're dating or engaged and you're sleeping together, you're building a wall between you and God that only repentance will break. I don't care who you are and how much you go to church. If you're dating or engaged and you plan to get married, you're building a wall with sexual behavior that a little sorry later on will not break that wall down. So many couples have issues in marriage because they didn't follow the rules before marriage. And they are rules, not suggestions. If you're living together, you need to move apart. If you're sleeping together, you need to stop. Because you've just set fire to your home and you don't even know it. Serious business, church. Serious business. And God will honor it. God will bless your repentance, but you've got to repent for God to honor it. Don't expect to show up on your wedding night and post-wedding expect God to be pouring out favor on your marriage when you didn't honor him coming in. How you get there matters. I love this verse because it says it doesn't matter what you've done. The answer is still Jesus, and it works. He works, and he will meet you where you are, wash over you, forgive you of your sin, and make you whole. And that's the invitation I want to give you today. In this service is to invite the Lord Jesus, regardless of what your issue is or isn't, to invite the Lord Jesus to wash you, to cleanse you, to make you whole, and to declare you holy. To remind you of your heritage, to remind you to whom you belong, of whom you belong to, and to set you free. That's what I want to offer you today. Parents, you've got to talk to your kids about this stuff. Small groups, you've got to talk about it. People who mentor youth, you've got to talk about this stuff. Because the devastation it's bringing in our culture is something is awfully difficult to recover from without the healing of the Lord Jesus. Let me put a website on the screen for you, and I'm done. AffairRecovery.com. This is a good friend of mine. Some of you know him, Rick Reynolds. I believe Rick's ministry is the leading affair recovery ministry in the world. I don't think I'm overstating it. His reach is hundreds now of thousands of couples. If you go to that website,
And you don't need to write it down. You can memorize it. If you Google affair recovery, that's what pops up, number one. The website is loaded with great information. Stories from couples who've walked this out and have survived it and thrive now and mentor other couples. You can join small groups of people around the country that talk by phone and get support in your... And you don't have to have an affair to need this website. There's a lot of great stuff about marriage on this thing. But if you've been through an affair, this one will help you immensely. We have small groups in this church that deal specifically with couples coming out of the devastation of an affair. And it's devastating. So make note of it. Go visit. Don't be ashamed. Don't be stupid. This fire, proverb says, can a man take fire into his breast and not be burned? He's talking about sexual sin. You're not the exception. Satan's agenda is still to kill, steal, and destroy. That's still his agenda.